Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Wherever you're listening around the world, a very warm welcome from London in the UK. Here is today's news in electric cars and the future of transport. My name is Martin Lee. This is your EV News Daily for Friday, the 23rd of March, 2018. Well, firstly, I can see from the stats on this podcast, the download stats, there's a 2-to-1 chance that if you're listening to this, you are in North America, about twice as many listeners in the USA compared to the rest of the world. Second, by the way, Europe, UK, third is Europe, if you wondered who else is listening to this. So a note for any countries listening today, right-hand drive countries for Model 3 reservation holders. Elon Musk was tweeted at 10:22 a.m. on Thursday, 22nd of March in the morning, and he replied. Tom on Twitter said, "What I really want to know is some info on the roadmap for Model 3 in the UK. How long do I have to wait and watch and cry at amazing YouTube reviews?" Well, Elon saw it from all the thousands of mentions he gets on Twitter each day, and he replied with this: "Probably mid-next year before we're able to make right-hand drive. Wish it could be sooner. Maybe try a Model S, used or new in the meantime. Used is better than a new 3 IMO, in my opinion, unless you want a smaller car." And that was the end of Elon's tweet. And that's the point, Elon. You've been to the UK. You know everything is smaller here. From hotel rooms to parking spaces. Americans come to Europe and they come to London and they get a hotel room and then they go, "Where's the rest of it? Everything is just smaller here." And a Model S, when you see Model S's on the roads in London, they look big, right? We just don't have big SUVs and big trucks like that in the UK. I agree, though. I have been looking at the approved used Tesla website for a while now, coincidentally. And £50,000 buys you a great car with warranty, which I would recommend you get from Tesla. Not saying they go wrong, but when you want something that rattles fixed, you want the Tesla warranty, and you can get it direct from Tesla here in the UK. My monthly train ticket, by the way, from here by the beach where I live up into London, into the capital where I work, is £800 per month. That's what I spend on a train every month, £800. The same price, by the way, exactly the same price, is what Tesla are offering on finance for a used Model S, couple of years old, not many miles, maybe even Autopilot 1 if that's your thing, if you'd rather that. I can't tell you, as I sit on a crowded train every single day, how much I'd rather be sitting inside a used Model S instead. Right, moving on with the news then. And everyone's talking about the Tesla semi-truck, but Daimler Trucks handed over the first all-electric trucks to customers this week in the UK. They are smaller than the Tesla Semi. They're only 7.5 tonnes, 100 kilometres range, which isn't a lot, by the way, for urban last-mile use, they call it. Trucks destined for Europe and the USA are all made, actually, in Portugal. This model already being used since last September in New York, Japan and Germany. Well, the American EVSE maker Clipper Creek just launched a brand new 64-amp EV charger for $969, the cheapest 64-amp system around that I've ever seen. It can deliver 15.4 kilowatts of power to your EV. If you want to charge your EV at home with this, it's a great price, but you will probably need to beef up your home power installation, maybe a new fuse box, get an electrician around to sort that out because you want to charge at the full rate, but it's a 64-amp circuit. Well, they say that they're launching this Level 2 charger because more EVs are coming on the market, which can charge at faster speeds, and they want you to future-proof your installation. Next, and the fourth generation SEAT Leon's going to go into production next year in 2019. Confirmed to be a plug-in hybrid version as well, which could mean there's hybrid tech in other models, like the very rapid and very hot hatch Cupra variant. And actually, rather than being badged SEAT, those fast hatches could be badged Cupra under their own name rather than being a sub-brand, if you like. Chances are that they might do what their owner VW did with the Golf GTE, the Passat GTE, and make it that kind of hybrid to make it quicker. On sale in 2020. Also in 2020 will be SEAT's first full battery electric vehicle. It'll be built on VW's MEB platform, which is 311 miles range. So basically, the VW ID which you've seen probably by now, but in SEAT form, kind of golf-sized. Only 15% of SEAT sales are outside Europe, so if you're listening to this in a bit in the dark of as to who they are, well, they're VW, they're Spanish, though, they're Spanish arm of VW, slightly less premium and slightly cheaper than their owners. Well, moving on, and here in the UK, the Huffington Post has reviewed the new Nissan Leaf. YouTube videos and reviews of the new Leaf are now quite common, but let's see what a mainstream, non-EV-focused publication has to say, if that makes sense. This is the kind of article that somebody would read who's never been into EVs before, and it's the impression they get. Well, highlights include this, and I quote, Nissan Leaf now has a range of 235 miles, charges from 0 to 80% in 40 minutes, and can drive itself in a slow-moving city, end quote. Well, I'll just stop them there. 235 miles, you'll be lucky. Self-driving. I think Nissan would like you to call it driving assist, please. They don't like the idea of people thinking that the Nissan drives itself. And as for rapid charging, well, Nissan PR are doing a sterling job right now of addressing complaints on social media from people whose Leaf is getting very grumpy on some rapid chargers. And by that, I mean going very slowly. Well, let's continue. And I quote, the interior looks and feels about as futuristic as Windows 95, which is a real shame. Considering the industry's desire to actively move people over to electric cars, it feels like a missed opportunity, end quote. Well, that's interesting because every review of every other EV that I've ever read, even if it has slightly different styling, is really critical of it. Look at every single review of the i3 from BMW. And at some point, they comment on the unconventional looks and the amount of times that people have called the original Nissan Leaf the ugly duckling. I don't know. All right, onwards. And it says this, there's half a digital screen behind the wheel which offers a glimmer of technological hope but is actually quite confusing to navigate, and the screen is in the centre console is not great. Car manufacturers who won't use high-res touchscreen displays for their cars are frustrating. It's not technically difficult, yet so many skimp on the display. The result is something that's low-res and very slow to respond, end quote. Yeah, I would agree with that point. Up to this point, the article I've not been on board with, but yeah. Look at the display of a cheap £200 tablet that you can buy on eBay from China, and it has a great display. And yet you spend £20,000, £30,000, £40,000 on a car, or euros or dollars, and the displays are really naff. Why is that? Why can't car makers just put, effectively, a tablet on the dashboard like Tesla do? And finally, they say this, and I quote, the E-pedal turns the accelerator into a brake when you pull your foot back. It feels deeply odd to begin with, but you do get used to it. The premise is that you can do everything with one foot, end quote. Yes, lots of people talking about the E-pedal and loving it. Well, our next story is about 20 Chevrolet Bolt EVs heading to Texas for the Maven service. You can have a car for $229 a week for unlimited miles, insurance included, maintenance as well. Maven Gig drivers get access to Maven charging, and you can reserve and do everything through the app as well. Now, Maven Gig is the rideshare platform also used for deliveries. They say Maven now offers its first all-electric fleet of cars for use in the gig economy, making it easier for Austinites who want to get the most out of their side hustle. Well, today, 20 Chevrolet Bolt EVs became available for freelance drivers in Austin to earn money on their own schedules. The city's passion for tech startups, combined with its high concentration of college students, makes it the ideal location for Maven Gig. Maven's working with Austin Energy, the Austin Transportation Department, and Rocky Mountain Institute to create infrastructure solutions leading to an all-electric future. Maven will leverage Austin's plug-in everywhere network of EV chargers, including Electric Drive, Austin's downtown smart mobility showcase, complete with a DC fast charger and solar kiosk. Well, on then, and the next story is all about zero emission miles, and it's connected to the story that we've just talked about, funnily enough, and this is more about how EVs will be part of our life in the future. For those of you not familiar with Tony Sieber from Rethink X, depending on which Twitter comment you read, he is a little bit love him or hate him, from what I can gather on Twitter. Some people will either call him a visionary who is more accurate about the future transport than anyone else on the planet, or people call him a salesman who relies on the oxygen of publicity created by making wild claims to be noticed. You should read his thoughts and watch him on YouTube. You make your own mind up. But I will tell you this. A new article on the Rethink X website says those who are leading climate policy change are getting it badly wrong by focusing on zero-emission vehicles and not zero-emission miles. He says that countries and states like California, who are all about setting sales targets for the vehicles by certain dates and focusing on the charging infrastructure, should be looking at the miles driven. The problem, says Tony, is that personal cars aren't driven enough. Ride-sharing, Uber and Lyft, use cars 10 times more than they would be. Private cars can be driven on average 4% of the time, and otherwise they're parked outside home and work. He says those who build the models, which policymakers then use to base all of their policy on, looking at private ownership, the way that we use ICE cars. Take an ICE car and turn it into a battery car, and then they're happy. That's aided in places like America with tax rebates, and here in Europe with direct subsidies. And he says that's all wrong. His philosophy is transport as a service. If you've seen it written down, a TAAS, where EVs, autonomous vehicles, and on-demand transport all kind of come together. His theory is that if level 4 autonomous electric vehicles get licensed soon, say by 2020, then within 10 years, by 2030, 95% of all miles driven would be by them. Now, my take is that we shouldn't abandon the focus on EVs. I think we should combine both approaches. I think the best way to decarbonize big cities is exactly what he's talking about, those population-dense areas. I work in the capital of the UK, in London, during the day, and I used to live there as well. And I owned a car, and I owned a motorhome as well. I had both parked on the street. It's a stupid thing to do when you live in London. Don't laugh at me. It makes total sense. If you can have fewer cars on the road, driving more miles each, it eases congestion, it's safer, it's quicker, it's cheaper. All those EVs can drive themselves back to base station, whatever that is, during quiet times. They can feed power back into the grid when we're cooking our dinner to level the grid demand out. But I also live outside London now in a small town, and I come from a very small country village in terms of my upbringing. And the idea of, I know my friends and family, the idea of losing personal mobility is not attractive. The idea of when you live a long way from anywhere else, not, and there's lots of places here in the UK like that, the idea of not being able to get in your car and drive yourself somewhere would be a big change in habit. Being in an area where a car is minutes away is fine, like a big city, and you can use the app and call the car and it'll drive itself to you and then you head somewhere. But having a car 20 minutes or half an hour away because you live a long way from the hub, or you just have to wait for this EV to turn up, it's not quite so attractive. If you want to pop to the shops for some milk and eggs, I'm not bought into the idea yet of that. Just the fact that it's going to be cheaper than owning a car. I think people are attached to their cars and their habits and their emotions rather than the practicality of the cost. Although it could be cheaper just to use a car when you need one to go to the shops rather than have it sitting in your driveway. But if you need the car as a lifeline to get places, it doesn't quite work when you're not in cities. Either way, Tony really makes you think. As you can tell, I'm probably more of a fan than some people about what he's talking about. And I follow him with interest. His speech, which opened the day recently at the Revolution Conference, was fascinating. Please do read more if that sounds like you'd like to know more. Well, on to Tesla. And Tesla software engineers have been pulling a few long shifts lately, by the look of it, working late into the night, because the brand new update that came out recently has vastly improved things like autopilot, according to all the YouTube reviews cropping up over the course of this week. It's almost magical abilities that it's added. Model 3 owners also have something else to cheer. The Model 3 now works with Apple's Siri. You can ask Siri things like, check if I've locked my car, and even where you left your car. But although, if you need to ask a virtual assistant where you left your car, you probably need more help than just your phone. Finally, Volvo. I told you recently on a podcast about Volvo, and in turn their parent company, Geely. They've called time on investing in R&D in new combustion engines. That means, given the life cycle of an engine, the new ones they're launching now will be the last ones they have because there's nothing in the pipeline, and they'll last about 7 or 8 years. The new crop of Volvo engines are the last ones that we will see, and for the first time, they are three-cylinder engines in the lineup for their electrified Volvo XC40. With the Drive-E powertrain making up 10% of sales, Volvo say the new three-cylinder powertrain's been deliberately designed to integrate plug-in hybrid cars. The hybridized, a hybridized, as well as a pure electric drivetrain option for the XC40 is coming. Great news. Gorgeous little car. Well, I'd love to spread the word about electric cars, and if you can help me do that, please do share this podcast with at least one person who might be interested. You can listen to every previous episode of the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, TuneIn, and the WordPress blog at evnewsdaily.com. Subscribe, which means you get it for free, you get it first, you get it instantly, and we publish it every day for free. And it would mean a lot if you could just take a couple of seconds to rate and review. If you're on Twitter, so am I, at evnewsdaily. Have a wonderful day, and I will catch you tomorrow for Saturday's update.